up a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Host Tanzen, Maggie, and me bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and die-hard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Podcast, brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 18.2, Sticky Wicket, where we are covering the novel White Knight. My name is Tanzen, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
And Jess.
Enigmatic. Something or someone described as enigmatic is mysterious and difficult to understand.
Chapter 3. Harry and Molly visit Butters at the Forensic Institute. Butters catches Harry up to speed on some suspicious suicides. Butters allows Molly to get an impression from one of the victims, which reveals a serial killer is in play.
So it feels like forever since we've actually done one of these.
Oh my God.
It has, like,
it has a little bit.
Yeah. Welcome back, everyone. Happy holidays. What did Santa bring you?
Cool.
Checks out.
I hear that I'm getting a lot of cold, too. Or, sorry, I got.
I was going to say, Jessica, so it hasn't even arrived yet.
That's why I get, like, my own gifts.
That shit is still.
That was the Kindle.
I was like, Jessica's thing.
Thank you.
She's like, if I wanted, I bought it. And if I didn't buy it for myself, you probably can't afford to. All right. Checking you off my list.
So we're back at the Forensic Institute, where we haven't been since that whole necromancer debacle, because Harry has a lot of nightmares about this place and doesn't want to come back to Corpse Central.
One guy you know gets turned into a zombie in front of your eyes and tries to kill you, and all of a sudden you're like, I don't want to go in there anymore.
I was going to say, Harry, I'm sure you see corpses all over this town. God.
Right? Yeah. Very few places now, but okay. I get it.
And the replacement guard is not nearly as social as Phil.
Right?
Well, look where it got Phil.
Maybe not enigmatic and all.
No, nope, don't think so.
No, that's not.
Good try.
I feel like it's supposed to be more subtle than that.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Do we put sirens on when somebody stumbles?
I was gonna say, it's not like a time trial thing. Like, who's the first person that can, like, wedge it in?
I'm sorry, I'm still in competition mode. I will win.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, Harry is not tempted to start bringing him a bunch of Mac Sale right now. It's like, guy won't even pick up the fucking phone and call Butters. It's like, 2 seconds. Just tell him I've got another person here.
On top of the fact that the person he's got with him looks like...
Molly.
Looks like Molly.
He tries to clean her up. Yeah. He's like, she was still going to look like a shady, sketchy, like, gang...
Tweaker,
but at least I did, like, damage control. Like, he just take out, like, half of the piercings.
So many insults in like 2 seconds for just a girl with tattoos and dyed hair.
Wow,
hair.
Jessica, do you feel attacked?
Fucking tweaker.
I had bleached hair in high school.
Everyone in this room with dyed hair and multiple piercings and tattoos.
I have shitty
not
tattoos.
Respectable, yes, not responsible.
But we're not 18-year-olds. You know, that automatically means
that's
you're...
True.
You know, if you're, yeah, tatted up and pierced at 18, then you're definitely up to no good. Yes, and you were definitely up to no good, Dan.
I just did them better, that's all. And it's true, definitely not any good. It was
but Butters, lovely Butters.
Bad influence, and I was happy to be that.
Like Mark Twain says, clothes make the man. Naked people have little to no influence on society.
Every time Harry comes here, him and Murphy and stuff have got to get permission to go down there in the back and see Butters. And every single time, Butters still doesn't, like, he accepts the call. He approves them coming in. And he says, but I'm not turning off my music until the last fucking second.
I was going to say,
that's how they,
like,
break.
Every time, just like, no, you're going to hear me.
I want you to know what's on my playlist.
Proud.
You're going to hear my Spotify rap.
Hope proud.
Harry is always, he's like, it's fucking amazing here. I can't find where you are. So, like, Butters just does it on purpose. He's like, I know if I leave the music on, then Harry's going to find me.
Also true.
Follow the sound of the Wumpa Pa.
Although, Butters pretty much has an assigned room he's always in, but yes.
Just oddly not the one he used to have. Brioche is like, why the fuck am I assigning you Lab B instead of Lab A now? Like, what the fuck, Butters? Just cause. Yeah. I am still impressed at the cleanup Gravain and those zombies did on Butters, because they fucking trashed the place, and then they're all, gee, why are the cops crawling all over the Forensic Institute? So they go back, and it's like nothing happened. I was like,
to be two fair, employs brownies.
Okay, but to be fair, of all the places to clean up, that's got to be the easiest one. You just hose everything down and chuck out the broken stuff.
Maybe, but it was like he threw his computer off the desk and
necromancy
stuff.
For glass.
Yeah. He just reanimated it all, and it just walked back into its pain.
Butters was like, well, I'm still on the clock, so.
He had a time turner as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Hermione's like reverso spell or something, or, you know, whatever, she just fix it. Anyways. Yeah.
Harry and Molly come into the lab and get to experience Weird Al's version of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Man is a freaking genius.
I'd be impressed with that, actually.
It's real.
It's, yeah.
Is it? I've never looked it up. Like,
oh.
Weird Al is a fucking genius.
He is.
Now, this whole Butters, I'm not going to tell you who, but I assume you knew I was coming by. It's the secret to keep it from Molly, or just in terms of, like, let's, in case anyone else is over.
I think more just the walls have ears, okay. Kind of a thing.
I was like, Molly was just fucking there.
Like really, like, Harry can take care of any surveillance like that.
Yeah, I mean, really.
If he knows about it.
Of course, it'll take out your computers, your lab equipment.
I was going to say, if, like, Brioche happens to be walking by in the hallway and he does it, though, then he's back in front of the council.
Fair enough.
You killed another person with magic, Harry. I just didn't want him to overhear, okay?
I wonder.
It was just a little hex, guys. Come on.
I wonder, like, I don't know, if it comes out way later on that, you know, somebody paying enough attention to Murph and Butters does have their offices bugged or something like that. Like, you guys are way too friendly with this wizard. What's going on? Weird underground shit.
Although Murphy's already paid the price for that. I'm like, isn't she paying the price for that right now? And she's like, totally you piss off a lot of people, Harry. Just because we're associated doesn't mean good things.
Wait, does Harry ever tell her that the Black Court was going to blackmail her?
Nope.
Because he knows Murphy would be pissed at him fighting her battles for him.
Right. So she, it doesn't come out. Okay.
She would have just been like, don't fuck it. But she wasn't there. She blew the state. So he's like, whatever, fuck, I get to make this decision for you.
And she lost her job anyways. Maggie's didn't go to jail.
That's another quiz question, Bon.
But also, Butters, listen, I should be careful what kind of information I share. So you didn't hear from me. Exactly. Great. Let's get to this already. What the fuck is going on?
But I have a list already fully prepared for you. Here you go.
This is
weird suicides.
I've gone too far now, but at the time when I first read these chapters, and I really did not know where this book was going, I'd completely forgotten all the events. I have no idea anything that happens in this novel. And I'm at this part, and I'm like, the body has, like, every single disease in the world. It's like, I'm like, yeah, right, no.
Tangent. Yeah. What book was that?
Yeah.
It's the sad one.
Correct. I will accept that answer.
Yeah, DM.
For me, it was the sad book.
Yeah, but anyway, so yeah. So I was like, okay, I finally understand the plot of this. Then we finished the chapter. I was like, oh, fuck, where are we? Oh, man. What is happening?
So funny.
I got it eventually, but it was like chapter 10.
I still don't know what's going on. Big surprise.
I honestly consider doing it like you, where I'm only going to read a couple of chapters ahead, not the whole book at once. Mm-hmm. And then I had nothing to do for like 8 hours, so...
It's like, oops, oh well.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
Much.
Yeah, the 6-chapter maximum is... I could probably get so much more done, but...
Mm-hmm. No recall.
If I do too many, I notice when I do too many because, like, then I get to the point where I'm like...
Yeah, no recall.
Yeah, oversaturated with influx. So he introduces them all, and Butters is all like, oh my god, you have an apprentice? But I'm like, which, fair. But at the same time, having gone over books and doing this quiz, I'm like, Harry's had a, like... not as full-time hardcore, but that was the whole thing with Kim Delaney. He's like my sometimes apprentice because she comes with me. And he's like, I often help like people with like little one-hit wonder things. And
he's always doing mild training.
I was going to say, so yeah, he's apparently had like all kinds
of apprentices. But Butters isn't in the scene and probably wouldn't have met any of those people.
Yeah, not too many actually make it to the morgue.
This is true, I guess, but it just feels like, right. I don't know, I mean, just overall, it feels like they're making a big deal about Harry having, like, an apprentice, and I was like, wait a minute, though, he's
to be fair, like, Molly is one of a kind in this
is just,
term,
like, his, for, like, hardcore protege, you know, it's like, none of those other ones counted, they were all, like, meh.
Well, to be fair, yeah, a lot of them were more one-time or small magic, we're never gonna get anywhere close to the council. Yeah. Molly's an apprentice to the council, she could eventually make the council.
I was gonna say, yeah, she gave Harry a run for his money in the first time she came out to play, essentially. Yes. So it's like, okay, fine. Like, sorry about all you other people. Good thing you're Kim, you're dead, Kim, so I don't have to insult you further. But
to be fair, if she
Molly's
listened, like,
really
Molly
my
had,
apprentice.
She was the first one that visited the morgue.
See, it wasn't Molly.
Come on, Jess, you know it's funny.
Yeah, she's just mad she didn't make it. This is the girl who, when we were watching the movie we made when I was like 8 years old and my brother was in the hospital.
My mom, when she was a small child, her two brothers were dying, so they decided to film a movie.
Not of that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yes, there was four of us that had to spend a lot of time waiting around while our parents did hospital stuff and little brother's stuff. And so we would spend all our time in the playrooms. And yes, my brothers, who were like 5 and 7 years older than me, wrote this Disappearing Princess, which is Arthurian kind of medieval sort of story. And then we filmed it with, yes, the help from the people in the hospital playroom and all this kind of stuff. And so, yes, at the time, my first youngest brother, unfortunately, did not manage to recover and died in hospital. And we spent like the entire, like we spent an entire summer in Toronto at the SickKids Hospital. But anyways, so my sister found a copy of this a couple of years back and converted it over onto like a thumb drive or whatever.
Oh.
So they, yeah, it was really cool because I haven't seen this thing since
I've
was.
I've heard the stories about it, but didn't know that it got converted.
Oh, cool. Yes. Yeah. So I think I have a thumb drive somewhere that's got it on there.
So the whole family sat down to watch it.
And we're going through, and there's, so yeah, so there's this one scene where my brothers are being like the Black Knight and like the Merlin and stuff like that. And so, and most of our props were all like from the playroom and stuff like that. But they had this thing set up and they had like a skull and whatever on the, because it was in the magician's place, and Jessica's like, oh, you did manage to get your other brother into it.
Touché.
So, you know, yeah, I think she's just mad that not that you made the joke, but that you made the joke.
I'm so funny.
She's just lucky the family is what the family is, and we all thought that was funny and didn't like murder her on the spot.
They've trained me, I've trained them. We all understand each other.
Dark humor, gallows humor is the only way to deal with, like, death and sadness, right? Anywho. Back to the suicides, yes.
Let's lighten up a little, guys, and get back to the suicides.
Yeah, please.
So all these suicides are just a little bit off. Like, why make yourself some food if you're just going to off yourself?
And this is kind of cool in the sense that, much like Murphy in some of these things, he's had enough influence, enough training.
Butters is a detective.
Right? To be like, wait a minute, these things are weird and don't add up. And there's just enough. And I mean, again, right, Butters is like, I can't figure out what's going on. He doesn't necessarily think immediately it's like supernatural per se. But again, like you say, it is just interesting that he's like, there is
but
enough.
But that it's not possible to be a suicide, or at least if it is, it's incredibly crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what's setting up to do, right? And yeah, I mean, it makes enough sense, I suppose, when Murphy's like, right. But I mean, again, Butters is not like, oh my God, something magical is good. But Butters is like, something's not adding up. Mm-hmm. Right, which starts the thing, and then Murphy looks at them, and Murphy starts noticing that, yeah, the absence of any logical explanation hints at supernatural and whatever. So, good on Harry, and again, just how smart are, like, Murphy and Butters and stuff like that, that they're starting to twig to this stuff now, right?
It's a good team and networking.
Totally. Yeah. It's super cool, and yeah.
It is just exciting. Sorry people died, but, like, holy shit, you guys are good at your jobs.
Right. Crazy. And again, expanding the knowledge base of your jobs, that exactly, it's not just
and it's just that sort of cliche you know, nobody believed Butters. They threw him in a loony bin for asking too many questions. And then you get to the people, you know, you put Butters with the right people. And it's like, wait a second, you fucking know shit. You see shit. You're on the ball.
This group is performing.
This, right? Mm-hmm.
Take your accolades.
Right. You know what? That is hilarious. I don't know if we've ever brought that up on here before, but Tamsin and I did a communications course.
Norming, storming, something performing.
Forming, storming, oh. Norming, performing. Yeah. So any group dynamic that comes together is first you're forming. So you all find out about each other and like all the
Everyone's
things you have
super
in
nice
common.
And puts their mask on.
Yeah. And all the things you have in common. And then you get to storming where
the
those
first conflict or yeah, perceived conflict.
Perceived conflicts. Those initial things aren't what's holding you together anymore. And now you start looking at all like the differences you have and stuff like that. And then you start norming, which is where you get past what you have in, you know, and start normal or whatever, and then you get to like performing where you're like, okay, now we work together as a really good machine. And the dynamic between this is you can go back and forth between like storming and at any given time you can go back to it. So anytime somebody new comes into the dynamic or leaves the dynamic or you get a new idea in the dynamic or right, you're constantly going back and forth between that like storming and norming. And so yeah, which is something I have incidentally of all the things I've done in and around, I'm like, actually that one you can always find truths to that. And then whether it was like my kids or work relationships or whatever, I'm like, oh, we're storming now. And yes, Murphy definitely had that. Let me just punch your teeth out, Dresden. Okay, no, I guess you were right. Sorry, could we go back to that?
12 years, and that's the only thing that stuck with the two of you.
Not the only thing, but one of the
and
main
I
things.
Know how to use a table saw. That too. Oh,
Honestly, folks, it does make sense why those two things go together, but not without any other context. Moving on.
And I say, what are the reasons instead of why?
Yes. That one is still a big one I used too. Anyways, so, yes.
Harry very much playing the lawyer here. Does this say that she was on antidepressants?
Yeah. I know, right? He's like, am I reading this right? It's like, okay, you know what, Harry? Just because sometimes you're on antidepressants doesn't mean everything is all hunky-dory anyways. It doesn't mean you're automatically suicidal either, okay? There's a whole spectrum of things there, Harry, okay?
Hey, don't be defensive.
Me? Never.
But yeah, so one of the weird things is that, you know, this first victim, both her wrists were slit perfectly evenly. And if you've slit one wrist, how the hell are you getting to the second wrist, especially so cleanly?
Well, and it's deeply, right, is his point. He's like gone way down, cut severed tendons. Yeah. That's what holds your hand together.
Yeah. Yikes almighty.
Yeah. So cut the strings on the puppet ain't doing much, so.
So officially possible, but unlikely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but based on other circumstantial evidence that there is no other evidence, it's a suicide.
Mm-hmm. Right, sense. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We can't prove it otherwise, so I guess this is the easiest answer.
Mm-hmm. So again, right, it's like, you know it doesn't fit, but again, right, without anything to, which is a frustrating.
They're also in weird places and hotels and not at home.
That's the other thing. And he's like, that doesn't usually happen unless they need to go somewhere to do it, like jumping off a ridge or whatever, right? But he's like, most people will just do it. Because, I mean, I admit, if I'm going to off myself, why am I going to go through all that much more trouble of going out somewhere? I'm like, I don't want to leave my house at the best of times when I have stuff I want to do. So why am I going to make it that much worse if I'm just going to say goodbye? I was like, yeah, so I ain't going anywhere.
So we get this little moment, too, that we see how far Harry has come because he would go to crime scenes and then puke his brains out. And both him and Butters are totally unfazed as Molly, you know, runs and dashes to the bathroom to Expelliarmus herself. It was like a little callback and showing how far he's come.
Yes.
Now, at the time, Harry did describe that as like, well, that's good. That means I'm still human, that I can still be affected by this stuff, okay? Like, it's good.
Yeah.
And yeah, now it's a little bit like, she wants to survive. She's got to get used to it. We'll see where she goes. Okay, fair enough. But damn, dude.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, yeah, Butters is like, she's kind of young for this. He's like, oh, a lot of that going around. So, yeah, like, some of these people are quite young already, like early 20s and stuff like that. The other one they were just at, she wasn't terribly old either.
Yeah, which, like, honestly, it's fair. I mean, once you're in Shrewd in the supernatural, same sort of thing with the whole Murphy. He kept saying, I don't want to get you involved, you'll be in danger. I don't want to get you involved, you'll be in danger. I don't want to get you involved. And eventually, it's like, hey, you're involved. I better teach you before you're in danger.
Yeah. And now you're already
Molly is fucking, she's involved, okay? Sorry, yeah, you are only 19, 18?
18.
Yeah, 18.
And she did. I mean, again, a little bit different set exactly. Hers wasn't sort of a quote-unquote gentle step-by-step introduction like Murphy got. It's Molly jumped into the deep end. And
I mean,
well, he can't be enigmatic about this stuff. He really does have to teach her.
And it kill you.
No, we're sugarcoating. He's just got to get it out there.
Oh, wow! Wow! Wow!
I'm going to start doing my intro at the end of the episode. And Jess, redacted.
Oddly enough, Jess is the only one that manages it.
I wrote it down. 2 points.
Excuse me, I'm the host this time. And I no.
My face is hurting.
Oh, just a little bit. Oh, Laura.
Shit, where are we?
I don't know. But yes, they're just like very casually, yeah. Molly starts to turn green and Butters is like, down the hall to the right. Isn't she a little young for this? Yeah, she's got to learn. So,
okay, so yeah. It's about fucking time, okay? How many goddamn times do we have a Maggie, a Margaret, a Margaret Mary in these books? It's about time we get a Jessica. She's dead, but it's about time we get a Jessica.
Right? Finally.
And oh so pale.
And also, just like Jessica.
Well, we don't know how she's dead. She just seemed to have suddenly stopped working. We can't find a heart attack. We can't find a stroke. There's no physical damage. It just seems like she just shut off.
Yes.
So why do we even include her with the other bodies? Well, there's a couple of weird things that somewhat fit in the Venn diagram, okay? She was in a hotel for one. She's a young woman for one. She's dead. And some things don't add up. Where are all her clothes, for example?
Right. So something is going on because exactly she couldn't have done all of this by herself because exactly who took the clothes away, right?
Somebody would have noticed a naked girl walking in.
Like. You would think when she checked in that might have been, you know, but exactly right. So certain things that just... They don't match up the same, but they don't fit up with just being on their own either.
What a mystery.
What a mystery. Those damn Jessicas.
Mm-hmm.
They're an enigma wrapped in a conundrum wrapped in a...
This game's not fun, and I'm taking my ball back home.
My ball back home.
Oh, you're making me old man laugh. So Harry thinks, you know what? This is a teachable moment. Let's have her examine the dead girl.
Right.
Well, he does think. He's like, you know what? If anyone can get anything from it, it might be Molly because she's got a certain skill set that I don't have. Blobbity bloobity blue. Which is...
He does make a good point.
It's kind of cute the way they go through this, right? Butter's like, well, what are you good at? Finding things, blowing things up.
All the shit I do all the time.
You know what? Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, finding, following, and fiery explosions is what I wrote down.
Yeah, pretty much.
Being a detective, pay attention.
Oh, yeah, those things too. But yes, it is nice how he exactly says that they all have... He's like, but isn't she, like, new? Isn't she just, like, a baby wizard? And he's like, yes, but she still has, like... Yeah, she's still got a long way to go to, like, find and hone and improve and level up those skills. But, yeah, her natural aptitude for certain things is already, you know, better than my practice version because I'm just not good at it. So, yeah, little kudos to Molly there. I'm like, she was so good. She's just straight to Warlock and, like, brainwashing people and, like, dude.
You can,
like,
trust her. It's fine.
Yeah, she's got this. Trust
she's
me.
She's only responsible for, like, 3 or 4 people's being dead and a couple of them being insane.
Yeah, right? Trust me. She's got this down pat. She doesn't even
phaser.
No, yeah, doesn't even know she's doing it. Boom, it's done.
Now, this part I actually do like, the whole preparing herself. Molly's got to sit down. She's got to meditate. She's got to go through the motions. It is a little bit of a nice, oh, so this is how Harry must have been in the early days when him and Elaine were still figuring this shit out and it wasn't so easy for him. Like, it's nice to see those building blocks in action because obviously we didn't come into the game until Harry was already
well-practiced
on his own, right?
That, yeah.
So it is nice to see and get this. And Harry says, you know, kind of quickly following that, is that in a battle, she's too slow, but... Again, that's part of the training, and we'll get there. And, you know, for me, things that for me I don't think about, I just do on a whim.
Yeah, for now.
Here's what I'm actually doing. I am doing the whole process Molly's doing. I can just do it in the blink of an eye now.
It's like the Hulk. He's just angry all the time. He's just got it ready and waiting there to, like, flip over. And
it is nice world building without getting too bogged with details.
Totally,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like it. So, yep, go give Molly a minute to chew on that.
I do appreciate that her first experience is not, like, the same as Harry's, which is, like, these traumatic things. She just gets the luck.
Even prepping for this, Harry's like, I'll help you go get the body. And they have to go back to the lab where, as he puts it, Butters had a bullet put through the brain of his life is normal. Yeah. Like, you know, but it's like, oh yeah, this is where our friend Till tried to kill us and smashed everything up and terrified Butters. And oh, great. It's so good to be back here. Oh, let me help you get this dead body out of the fridge. I'll just pretend it's a sack of groceries. And yeah. And then Molly's like, whoa. It's like,
well, this
not
is
fair,
fun.
Not fair, not fair.
Yeah, so Molly looks into the eyes, gets something immediately. Now, honestly, for me, I didn't get orgasm the first time I read this until the boys are like, did she just... Yeah, like, just the description of what happens to Molly. Maybe I'm dumb, but to me, I just thought it was like some weird, I don't know, just... Well, she saw a vision or something like that. She had a weird reaction. It wasn't until the boys made all their goddamn comments that I was
yeah,
like,
kind
okay.
of intentionally vague.
Yeah, something, right? You know, to me, anyways.
Good, good
I don't
thing,
know.
I guess.
Her eyes flew open wide and she let out a short gasp. Her breath rasped in and out frantically several times before her eyes rolled back up into her head. She stood frozen and rigid for a pair of quivering seconds, and then her breath escaped in a low, rough cry and her knees buckled. She did not fall to the floor so much as melt down into it. Then she lay there, breathing hard and letting out a continuous stream of guttural whimpers.
See, the first half could be just trauma, but the,
right, that
the
to me
second
almost like
half
a nightmare.
Is definitely
and then
a little...
I guess it's kind of followed up a little bit more with the whole her body rippled with several slow undulating motions that drew the eye to her hips and breast. And then it starts to get a little bit more sexual, but again, I don't attribute that to Molly having an orgasm.
Again,
I attribute that to Harry being a horn dog.
Well, again, I mean, obviously Butters picks up on it too, but I was going to say, I would like
Harry
to attribute that to the fact that you were like 16 and again, you know, maybe not as well versed in...
Okay, maybe, yeah.
Verbal description. Not verbal, well, yeah, but verbal descriptions of, like yeah, sexual yeah. behaviors. I don't know. I don't know. It's been too long. I'm like, I can do, but again, listening to the books, I'm like, I feel like there's a way, like, I feel that maybe Marsters puts a little more...
Expression into it? I don't know. He's rude. He's being a rude little boy.
Inflection, that's...
Let me in, let me in by the hair of my chitty chin chin.
What's he get? But either way, yes. It's he does try and do it euphemistically enough that it's not glaringly obvious necessarily.
I wasn't offended by this one, fortunately. I didn't find it like that ick area that some of the other ones were.
Again, it's not horrible, but again, this whole, is she legal?
I was going to say, at least Lisa Butters is like, did that just happen? And
I need to get out more. Me and you too.
All right. You and me both. It's been like 2 years since I felt something. My eyes been like four. Boo-hoo. Oh, also, Butters got some more recently than you did, Harry.
No kidding. Okay, so what exactly did Molly see?
She got the experience of the use of a Wartenberg pinwheel, which is a medical device used to test nerve endings.
How do you know that, Tanzan?
Because I own three of them.
It seems extensive.
Okay, actually two, I think.
In different sizes.
So you only have two hands.
Jessica, that's just waiting for all kinds of jokes.
They're fun. They can hurt, though. But definitely suck.
A little sharp. Little pinpricky. Yeah, so she doesn't really know what happened other than that she experienced the sensations that this woman went through. And obviously, she was having a real good time, and then everything just went blank. So, just all of a sudden checked out in the middle of, like, sexual throes and, ugh, that was... And Harry's like, okay, can we move on? Like, I need some, like, give me something useful. She's like, I don't know. That's all there was to it. And he's like, fuck. And so then him and Butters are going on, and she's like, wait. So they bring up, I don't know, if you're trying... I keep imagining, like, okay, you know the thing where you, like, all stand in a line and put a piece of paper on each other's back?
And try to draw with.
And try to draw. I almost feel like it's like... And I'm like, I guess maybe not. Like, maybe if she could feel exactly where that was at.
I agree.
Maybe
it seems crazy to be able to spell out an entire word. Like, even a symbol, maybe. Like, if she'd done out, like, a pentagram or something, that would have made more sense to me. But a whole word does seem crazy to remember the exact feeling, shape, whatever.
When I think of it as, like, that sort of... When Harry speaks about sort of using the sight and like how it's burned into your brain is how I sort of attribute the fact that she's got that
precision
because she can still actually feel the sensations that were brought.
I was going to say, and maybe like I said, right, especially that it's kind of like a sharp prickle feeling. If you're feeling it like right there and following it as it goes, maybe you could. Because again, the thing is often they get the right motions, but again, it's like you haven't moved, you know, you're trying to draw an E and you draw the line down.
It's probably not
going to
be calligraphy or anything.
No, but enough to like you say, I mean, again, she's running on her stomach. It's not that big a space either. She can't.
Well, it also would be mirrored and upside down for her.
writing. Yeah, yeah. It would still come out
I guess. I don't know. But the thing is that how does this exist on her? Okay, so she never felt any pain, and it's clearly not physically carved into her body, but psychically carved into her soul body? Like, if somebody carved it in with the sight, with the other plane, with, like, that secondary thing that the sight sees, like, if Harry were to drop and do the sight on the body right now, would he see those words on the body? Like, I don't know. Like, I just, like, how is that... I don't know. To me, that sounds painful. Like, whatever, leaving a message for
you. Well, but that's the thing. So I'm assuming it's a thing that exactly, it didn't press so hard as to leave the little perforated lines. But again, you don't have to press, right? It's like testing for nerve. You just need a very light. So light enough. So, I mean, again.
So it's literally just somebody running an actual Wartenberg wheel on her skin, and Molly can just remember that.
Yes, I'm assuming that exactly. Mm-hmm. At some point just before.
Because otherwise they could just look at the body and see.
Well, I took it as the assumption of, like, Molly is, like, referring to it as a Wartenberg. Not, like, an actual Wartenberg was used to leave a message.
Yes, I always took it that essentially, yes, an actual Wartenberg was used, which is why she could feel that. Because that's what she said. She said it feels like somebody was so... Again, it could have been something else, but basically, yes, that somebody ran that over enough that, again, the person, the Jessica person could feel the sensation of it happening, and then she was killed moments later. So, yeah, she would not necessarily have known what was being written on her or fucking cared at that point. But, yes, I believe it to be an actual sensation that Molly is picking up on in amongst all the other...
Yes, but okay, you didn't have to write Exodus. You had to write EX2218, which is potentially easier to...
That is true.
Sensation, feel out, whatever.
Yes.
Maybe we should practice. Let me get a piece of paper. But you don't get to know what I'm writing. Don't guess EX.
Well, that's better. I thought you were going to grab a Wartenberg wheel and tell me to lift my shirt up or something. I'm like, no, let's not test this.
But okay, the Exodus thing confirms that Jessica is involved with the rest of these. Magically speaking, she is involved.
Magically speaking, that connects her very nicely.
Yeah. But this is one more of those. Only a wizard would be able to figure this out sort of things.
Right.
The secret message.
Which is what he says about the clothes, too. He does bring that up of why the clothes. He's like, so there'd be something on it that could identify her. And Harry's like, or that maybe I could identify. Because they did find, like, she had her ID and it went nowhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, again, just in case. Maybe the clothes were wizardly or not. But this definitely is, so.
So, basically, you have these messages that only a wizard can read. They're very enigmatic. And what are you going to do about it?
Call Ghostbusters.
It's true. Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Woo! 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 Bow, 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 bow.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us to do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at www.patreon.com/freeflowrambling.
Chapter 4. Harry heads down to McAnally's to work on his enigmatic case. He is confronted by the knowledge that he is feared by the magical community despite his effort to help people. Mac provides Harry with his first lead.
Honestly, I think your best description ever.
It's almost like she had a ghostwriter for part of it or something. I don't know.
One single word.
So they head out, and Molly's just all quiet, but, like, really dreamy and blissed out and just, like, feeling her feels. And Harry's like, yeah, you know what, Molly? Heroin feels good, too.
Like, what a kick in the teeth.
He's such a dick.
Ass moment, right?
But, you know, effective.
Now, I get it. Molly would have been perfect victim had she been a little bit older and Stormfront, okay? She would have been right there on the three-eyed drug. She would have been right there joining in on the orgies.
Probably, yeah. They're right.
But come on, Harry. You're so bitter and jealous.
Felt out of place. Like, they're... Yeah.
Really? It didn't for me, though.
It felt kick you while you're down kind of... like, is it... Yeah, I don't know.
I guess.
No, actually... Just a little bit too much for me.
Not me. I actually think it's good to remind her about Rosie and Nelson, because you actually did ruin their lives trying to be an idiot. So, you know, you should feel some shame right now.
Yeah, and again... Intentions and all that aside, right? Like, yeah, Molly, there is no margin of error for Molly, you know, and that's what she does. So, yeah, so I mean, again, she's all being like, ooh, this is awesome. I just got to feel like, this whole, like, literally orgasmic experience.
Now, let's be fair to Molly, okay? It might not have been like this had Harry told her she could do some self-exploration. That's probably her first one in, like, 6 or 8 months, so this is his own fucking goddamn fault.
She's like, I needed that.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, well, apparently so did Harry and Butters, but, you know. But yeah, so yes, it was harsh. It is a kick, but I do get where he's coming. I mean, he does say it gently at first, you know, but he's like, yeah, just remember, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm feeling this because a girl died, right? And yeah, we are now looking into all of these other cases that are probably not suicides. Don't get carried away. Big picture. Focus on, yeah. So I do get it. And they
do a little bit of brainstorming, and Molly sort of figures it's a vampire that may have been involved in the woman's death.
And Molly makes some good points. She's like, hotels, no threshold. He's like, oh, very good, Grasshopper.
Yeah, it's a sex thing. That seems white vampire. We already know, based off of Mavra and Wraith, that vampires can perform magic in some capacity.
But there are also any number of other entities that could also bring death by pleasure.
Yeah. Vampires aren't the only ones interested in sex.
Yes, not the only succubi, incubi out there. Lots of things that fall under that. But still, kudos. Good points to Molly for exactly...
We're proud of her. She's
proud of her, right? And we've said it's been, what, about a year? Slightly less than a year? Slightly more than a year?
July to May. Okay. 10 months.
So just, yes. So it's been just slightly less than a year. This was what I was thinking, buddy. Okay.
I'll have to give birth.
To this next great idea. But yeah, so obviously Molly had started to do a little bit, but yes, she was mostly doing, I guess, the cool stuff, right? She tried to do research on her own, but based on how things went, we're going to assume
she was stuck
stuff.
To a lot of new age sort of witchy
things. Well, new
things,
age,
not...
but also things that interested her and helped her.
That too.
How do I screw with somebody's brain to not, like, let me look up all the monsters out there in the world, right?
Not a complete
She wasn't giving herself the full, well-rounded, make sure she covered all the bases, right? So, yes, again, between bits and pieces she may have picked up from her dad and things, but yes, she's figured out a lot in the last year, and obviously Harry has been keeping her up to date on, you know, covering a lot of bases that way to be like...
And we've said as much in the last chapter and a little bit this episode as well. Your whole performing and all those other words you said, forming and storming.
Group dynamics.
Yeah.
Forming, storming, norming, performing.
Right. But Molly's getting a crash course in private detectiveness as well as the wizardry, right? So partially of just who her teacher is, she's also going to get this angle of it as well from the investigation side of how we look at things and how we approach things and how we fucking do our shit.
Exactly.
Using an inquisitive mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're right. If Harry had like some like holistic bakery, like in a Hallmark movie or something, yeah, Molly would be learning a whole other set of skills along with her.
Exactly.
But yes. But yes, I do like that exactly that. Because again, as we are just right here, she's only like 18.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, yeah, you know what? You do have some smarts. You're not just a pretty face. You're not just, much as she still wants to be that rebellious teenager and be like, everything sucks. I don't want to do my homework. Obviously, she is understanding and, yeah, taking it seriously enough that she is.
Yeah. I was a little surprised, though, that Harry just outright refers to Molly as a warlock.
Okay.
I was like, oh, wouldn't that you fall under that, too?
Yes, exactly.
He does sort of address it, kind of, like, that he's, you know, that, too. But, like, while I was going through it specifically, I was like, oh, like, kettle black there, buddy.
Absolutely agree. He's so harsh about it.
Yeah. If Molly was a warlock.
Yeah, if she didn't get more solid head on her shoulders, her talent with magic was going to get her killed, probably taking me with her. Molly was a warlock. She'd use magic to tinker with the minds of two friends, blah, blah, blah. This is so weird to me that he uses that Molly was warlock. Okay, so then so were you.
Yeah, so was
he. And you know that...
And he's used... So, he's broken rules by, like... And even if they're subtle breaks, he has broken the rules several times over. Not just the incident with Justin, but he's used necromancy, even though it was on a T-Rex.
Pushes, yeah. He finds the loopholes. I take it, though, not so much as... Like, more the way you say... Like, current, you know, instead of saying Molly is a warlock, Molly was a warlock. Like, just that's what she was, is kind of like more of that, not like... But, and I think, to me, the distinction here is that Harry was considered one once, but he did his training, he learned his lesson, he has not been one for, right? So I think he's talking, like, right here, right now, Molly has not yet redeemed herself.
I'd been a warlock. That's the part that he follows up with that is so crazy to me, because he's like, okay, so then you're... calling yourself a warlock, you knew that you had good reasons and good intentions. You weren't going around trying to kill anyone. You just defended yourself with magic. That's the only thing that made you kind of a warlock. So for him to be like, Molly was a warlock, I'd been a warlock, I'm like, that's two very broad descriptions for, I think, two very different cases.
Not necessarily. I just think he's saying that she's still in her redemption era, okay?
I get that, but I don't know.
She hasn't come out of the woods
yet. Language is a little bit
weird. I don't
know.
Maybe. But again, right, like, he has officially had, like, the doom of Damocles lifted, right? Like, he is no longer on probation. He has now been cleared, pardoned, whatever. Maybe not pardoned, but cleared, right? He served his time, right? I think that's just it. I take it always more to mean that she is just in the process of... Right, because he says, I've been there, right? So I just take it to mean that she's still working on moving on for the stuff. Not necessarily right or wrong on either side, just the perspective. But yes, I've never
picked up on it before until this most recent reread. And I did the same thing. I was like, yo, who the fuck are you right now?
Yeah, but that's just how I take it, is just that. She's still on probation. She's still got to prove her.
I think the only thing that sort of redeemed it for me is that he does call himself a warlock, that he was a warlock too. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the only thing that sort of made it feel at least a little bit less like, ooh,
yeah.
What? That's a little far, but...
Yeah, because he does go through that whole explanation that, you know, responsible for the breach of contract until they satisfy the council. She hasn't satisfied the council yet, Harry has.
Well, and I think the problem with these statements is that we have heard kind of similar things in the past, that once a warlock, always a warlock. So it's...
Yeah.
It's very condemning for him to say that out loud, especially as her mentor.
Yes, I was going to say, as the one who stepped in and saved her and was like, no, she's not. She's worth saving. She'll be like, yeah, no, you totally are. Yeah. Like, wait, what? But yeah. And then, again, just very, very human, like any parental figure or anything ever. Oh, actually, I always had slightly with this. So you guys want to pick nits with that. I was picking them with, when Molly had been bound and hooded and dragged before the council for trial, I'd stepped in. I'm like, okay, you didn't bound and gag her, but who dragged her? I'm like, you dragged her before. You make it sound like the council just showed up and was like, oh, we're taking it.
Right.
I'm like, no, you dragged her to the trial. They bound her. You didn't
I coerced
that far,
her to agree to a trial.
Yeah. I was like...
Oh, I just shut up. That's not like dramatic enough.
Yeah, I stepped in. I mean, after you brought her there, then you stepped in.
Not the stepdad, but the dad who stepped up and also volunteered her.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Also, the reason she's an orphan and needs a stepdad.
But immediately following that was the original point I was going to make. Like, you know, every parent and parental figure and guardian gets to at some point. Sometimes I regretted the hell out of that decision. I love my kids, but oh my God.
I really like the gauge that he gives her for
the
like,
little exercise he gets you to do.
Using this beaded bracelet thing to sort of say, do you have the skills to be able to assist with this? Not at this time, but
and it is, it's cute, because Molly's kind of feeling her oats right now, right? She's like, okay, I crashed your thing and almost screwed things up and got in trouble, and you guys knocked me down a peg, but then you're like, hey, come along anyways if you're going to butt in, and then I did something really cool and really helpful that you maybe could have done, but it would have been a lot more difficult and wouldn't necessarily, and now's right, like he says, you know, time or two, Molly actually glowed after a compliment and all that, right? She's like, I can keep going. Let's go. What's next? Let me take me to the next thing. I'm going to keep helping you. I'm so useful. You're like, you need me. And Harry's like,
it's time to slow your roll.
Slow your roll a little bit. Yeah, yeah. How many beats can you move? Oh, fuck. And even just this is cute too, right? Because she struggles to, what, get that fourth one. And then she's like, oh, I got six yesterday. I'm like, oh, that
relatable.
Right, totally, totally. Like, oh, yeah, yesterday when I was in my room and all calm by myself, I got,
I was
now
say,
that
of
somebody's
course,
watching.
When you're all calm by yourself, you got hours of free time, you get six. When you're in the heat of the moment and you
right,
only get four-ish.
It's that fucking bullseye you nail in darts, but nobody happened to see it when you threw it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I got fucking you, Molly. Fuckers. That shit sucks.
Yeah, oh, 100%, right? Yeah. But it is cute. It is a nice way for, like, I love all these little things that he's adapted. Like, Ebenezer made me, like, shovel hay into the loft for, like, 47 hours straight. You know, he's like, I can't do that, and I won't do that to Molly. But he's like, here, let me find what else can we. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a nice way to set boundaries, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a gentle way.
A gentle way, yeah, exactly. Still very effective, very purposeful, and yet exactly. It's, like, not necessarily just, like, because that basically was it. When he got to this point, right, when he was just, Ebenezer just worked the fuck out of him. He's like, you're going to be too tired to make trouble.
To go off, yeah.
And, you know, and it worked. That was what Harry needed. And, I mean, again, when you've got a fucking 6'9" kid at that age, you know, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, a lot of of. I tend to forget that sometimes when I picture Harry back, I just tend to think of like a typical like teenager kind of a thing.
Still a bit at that age.
Tend to forget that Harry was like, by 16, he was probably already there or really close.
Yeah.
Definitely, I would say over 6 foot, if not all the way there, right? So it's like, I forget Harry wasn't just like a scrawny.
Yep.
But yes, anyways, nice moment. And then even there, he's still got to pull his Jedi mind trick, though. She's like, you're not explaining it very well. And he's like, well, maybe you're not learning it very well. Like, Harry's not going to be like, yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I explained that right or not. But
it's cute.
It is cute. It's just so very him. I'm like,
I mean, yeah, every kid needs their own different skill set, especially for something like magic where everyone's got kind of innate talents and
you
know, areas of expertise. And you don't necessarily have the correct area of expertise training the next area of expertise, which is good because it gives a broader range of learning. But
yeah,
I do like that, you know, Harry, yeah, his ability to adapt and come up with these ideas too. I'd be like, I don't know, how would I have come up with a bracelet idea? I probably wouldn't have. But yeah, you stare at Molly and you're like, you know what? You need to just chill out.
Yeah.
Stare at some fucking beads. Go build a friendship bracelet.
Right. That whole village to raise a child thing, right? Yeah, you get a little bit from all over to give you that balance thing. But
so next stop for Harry is our home turf, good old McNally's.
Woo, McNally's. And you know what? This is kind of nice because normally Harry like just carries on and grits his teeth. He's like, fuck, I don't want to deal with this shit. I'm going to get drunk. And like, you know, I'm like, good on you. Because yeah, Harry is in the voice. Like, he's not much of a drinker. He even reiterates it here. Mac is like, so what? But yeah, I'm just like, you know what? And I find it both interesting and weird. I guess part of me is like, okay, you're right. You're not just dealing with like vampires where you're not going to have a lot of sympathy for, right? You're like a bunch of young women that are somebody seeming, right? I'm like, again, it's much more human factor, all this kind of, but it's just, and part of me though, I'm like, you've also dealt with a lot of shit over this stuff. Like, you know,
Tanzan. You bartended in America in the mid-2000s. How much is a beer?
God, I know, right? He gets like 7 beers for 20.
He puts down, a $20 bill and he just gets a million beers. I'm like, bro.
Okay, but, okay, yes. When I went, I think the better example, oddly enough, 2008, when I bartended and I came back to Alberta, I worked in a very low quality sort of an establishment. And it was the Alberta minimum that you could charge for a beer, which was $4.25 for a beer, which... Coming 2008, and Alberta prices are actually quite high in comparison to...
Anything in America. You get almost 5 beers out of that.
Possible to actually have that price.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like...
I was just like, in Canada right now, that's 2 beers.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Like,
that's like for, like, shit beer.
Yeah. It would cost... Yeah, I remember a few years ago, when we were doing the concession at Flames games and stuff like that, that was, like, $7-$8 for a beer.
And even just... Our pub, the bar I work at right now, like $20 is about 2 pints. Like,
When
I have cider, it's like
not even bottled.
$8 for
yeah, no, it's crazy. But yeah, it was way back in the day, like 30 years ago. Same thing. And I was like buying a pack of smokes for like $2, and I was like, what the fuck? Because it was like over $5.
Oh yeah,
or whatever at the time for like smokes in Canada. And I was like,
crossing the border, like, it was $2. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, no wonder so many more people smoke, right? But again, because we have ours taxed the fuck out of
them. $3 or $4, mm-hmm. And then coming back where it was like where all that huge taxes came back, and it was just like, holy shit, you guys are paying like $15, $20 for a pack of smokes?
Well, because I remember being confused as fuck just recently. I was in Chicago just like 6-7 months ago, and in Canada, with Canadian money, my Starbucks drink is just under $7. And in America, with American money, my drink was just under $7. And I was like, wait a second. How is this working?
Wait, what? That is strange.
Yeah, that's right? Literally, I was like, I should be paying $5 for a drink in America. What the fuck?
Okay, maybe Chicago's just like bougie.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, oh, you came to Chicago. If you went to like...
It was a Starbucks right next to their baseball pitch.
She keeps referring to this place as America. We could definitely rip her off.
And it was a Starbucks literally right next to their baseball pitch. So it's possible that was just the most expensive Starbucks in the city. I don't know.
They read your phone on the way in.
Probably.
But yeah, if you'd gone to just, you know, I don't know.
Mom and pop.
Patience, Indiana or something like that, you know. But yeah, but when you're in like Chicago, it's like, oh no.
Maybe so, because I was confused. I was like, wait a second. Yeah, it's $7 American and $7 Canadian. I was like, what the hell is happening to the price here?
It's just taking that long. When Tanzan was down in the States, stuff was cheaper. When I was down in the States, stuff was cheaper. You finally get down to the States, you're like, no, bitch, it's...
Damn it. It's like Canadians on South Park. You can immediately pick them out.
I'll take your word for it.
There's floppy heads and beady eyes.
I've never actually watched an episode.
They're just drawn weirder, stupider.
So yes, He goes up and he's left with a list of dead women that he wants to look at about as much as he wants to shove his manly parts into a radioactive wood chipper.
Which, to be fair enough, I asked a coworker to start reading the Dresden Files. Took him a long time to get through book one, and he's like, I don't know that I really like this Harry guy. But just recently, he started book two, and he came to me, and he's like, I don't know if I should say this, but, like, Harry, how do I word this? And I'm like, is a horny motherfucker? And he's like, yeah, he's a really horny motherfucker. And I was like, yeah. I was like, it gets better eventually, but kind of you have to wait till, like, book nine. Till it really calms down, and even then, he's got his moments.
But Harry finally starts seeing the destructiveness of, like, sexual trauma, and he's like, wow, wait a minute, I gotta...
Well, but that's
and
the
he has
thing.
An 18-year-old apprentice.
Is that I think it's literally until this book that Jim Butcher finally starts to make his sort of chauvinistic, gallivanting male thing come forward in a slightly different way, where it's like, yeah, like, looking at the dead bodies of the women and, like, it's still part of his flavor that he's always had of this whole, like, it just hurts worse to see human women hurt and killed, and which he's kind of always had, but it's a... It's really... maybe also he's 30 now in these books, in this book.
I was going to say he's probably again.
Is it just a horny 26-year-old constantly? But still, I just, like,
a combination that Harry is growing in Madrid. Also, it's... You know, like...
And Jim Butcher himself is also hopefully maturing.
But again, right, I think it is different, right? You can just say up there when you hear about one or two here and there, you're like, oh, that's... When you suddenly got, like, five things of all, right, that's gonna... Yeah. You know, same thing, right? You hear about, like, oh, there was a pedestrian collision on,
you know,
and I'm always like,
cases
yeah, I'm always
detail.
Like,
it's gonna suck, yes.
You know, have the kids been on Facebook this morning? Because that was their neighbor. Oh, okay, yeah, they checked in like 10 minutes ago, so that wasn't them that got, you know. Whereas, again, when you hear, you know, that we've had, like, you know, seven fatal pedestrian hits in, like, the last 2 weeks, all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, that is so many, right? Like,
literally Calgary all the time.
Yeah, it's been brutal. That is not quite the accurate, but we have had an insane, well, for what those numbers are.
I think more, honestly, but for what you said.
Yeah, we've had, so yeah, there's been like a dozen or something. I mean, that's over the course of the year, we had like three or four within like a two-week period or something, too. It's been nuts.
We had like three in like 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, it's been, they're like people, what the fuck?
Literally.
One of the things I have to, sorry, it's a little bit of a non-sequitur, but the one thing that I really appreciate is that for Harry to get the more beer from Mac that he requires his keys.
Zero trust.
No, this is like a really, like, there are so many times where I've been in as a, been a bartender and been like,
I can't serve you, bro.
I wish I could legally take your keys or ask for them because you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is, and again, that is the one advantage where, again, I don't think there's any legal, right? It's just that bro thing. Mac is just like, you gonna say no to me? Like, I'll cut you off. It's my bar.
Exactly.
You know, and again, Harry's is like, yeah, but I do. It is a nice moment that way where he's already, like you say, gone through. But yeah, like you say, he has already been through like seven or eight beers. And he's like, I still want more now.
To my regulars, I could demand it as well and be like, all right, but give me your shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to come back here again? You're not going to fight with me, obviously, so give me your fucking keys, but...
Yes, but yes, on a general, yeah, for just a random Joe Blow or something is that, yeah, you don't have the same power to demand it or whatever, right? But yeah, just a nice little touching moment of, again, their relationship and stuff like that.
I'm also very impressed, and I think this has been mentioned before, where he opens those beer bottles by hand.
Yeah.
Without a fucking bottle opener.
I know.
Just like iron fingers.
Oh. Was...
Like, drunken master that breaks walnuts open with his thumbs, too. Like.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to your description of chapter four. Actually, I had nothing to fucking do with the enigmatic, actually. I actually think it's a really good description when you say, he is confronted by the knowledge that he is feared by the magical community despite his efforts to help people. Mac provides Harry with his first lead. Kind of devastating.
Right,
as Harry's
got
going through this,
buried in these notes, and when he finally comes up for, I mean, more beer. I mean, air. Yeah. Where'd everyone go?
Yeah.
Away. Well, thanks. Okay.
Coming from anyone but Mac, but exactly. These people are afraid of Harry because he's gone and turned himself into a warden, and now he's not necessarily trustworthy anymore. They can't come to him with his friend. It hurts because this whole time he'd been trying to be their friend and helpful and...
Yeah, well, he was always a little bit scary anyways, the fact that nobody quite knew what he did and he could do big, bad, scary stuff. But now, exactly, now... And it's interesting because it comes back to the point more of, like, last book, too, when he's talking to Charity and stuff like that. And Charity's like, yeah, this cult guy didn't tell us anything until one day the warden showed up, interviewed all of us, said, step out of line or you're going to kill you. Bye, have a nice day. And, right, exactly. And like Harry has said before, even in his own experience and stuff like that. Every time the wardens come up, he's like, they're these boogeymen, and they just, right, they don't really, because you're right, they're not like the cops in the sense of like, oh, you lost your puppy, here, let me give you a lollipop.
Yeah, they're not as accessible.
They're not as accessible. They're not, they only show up to do bad things and stop people from doing, you know, like, yeah, either to threaten you severely that they're going to kill you or to kill you.
Like we said, they don't have the enough reach to be preventable, so they're basically always, you know,
just enforcers, and yeah, and exactly. And now Harry is all of a sudden, Harry, who's always been like, eh, the council. Well, I mean, I don't know how much she's allowed to say in Max, because again, the lesser talents are not supposed to know. But Harry's always like, eh, the council sucks, and the wardens are a bunch of douchebags. And he's like, by the way, I'm a warden now. You know, I'm like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how much of that he's been able to express to this crowd before.
Regardless of that, is that people obviously know enough or of the changes and see it. And he said as well, I've been less accessible since I've been helping with the war and training and doing this stuff.
Go
so I
figure.
Guess that can also make me seem less approachable and
yeah, all of a sudden I took
safety
on
person
this.
That I had once been putting myself as a pillar in the community, but it's still sad.
It is. It
damn,
is.
Dude, you've been trying to build this reputation in Chicago for almost a decade now.
Yeah.
And it kind You're of in like the span of one,
right? That's
two, well,
how
two
Lydia,
years.
Right? Lydia was like, people told me you could help, you know, and all these other things along the way. You know, Monica Sell, she's like, I heard you could help. Kim Delaney is like, Harry, I got questions, right? He spent all this time working and building to bring that.
Yeah.
And then now exactly, it's in the course of the last, you know, couple years or less.
We're about 2 years into
He really needs an image coordinator.
Right?
Time for a new ad.
Yeah, so I do feel for the guy. That's not fair.
That was definitely a little bit of a heart-wrenching moment and stuff like that when he's like, oh, wait, away from me? And then, yeah, he's all like, I don't know. They don't know. And then...
gets worse. Way worse.
It gets worse. Exactly, right? Max, like, you know, all what you working on? Harry's like, I don't know, all these things. And everybody's hot. And...
you want to talk enigmatic, Mac.
Yeah. Right. I do. I love that description, like, of Ebenezer hoarded words the way Mac does. Mac would have been like freaking Monty Hall. But yeah, but then he's like, why? Like, well, so why? And Mac is just like, did you do it? And Harry's like,
oh, you're serious.
Oh, wait, you're not laughing. What? Me? What? Yeah, it's like, oh, double punch. But again, Mac makes a certain valid point.
There's a lot of, what the fuck is happening? Like,
yeah.
This is out of proportion and weird.
Now, let's be fair.
Straight out of left field for all of us.
Yeah, but going back to what the people know, okay? If the last time you saw Harry out in public was deadbeat, this guy destroyed the city. He blew a box. He threw around a bunch of cars. He fucking ran a dinosaur through the middle of the streets, crushed who knows what.
Yeah, buildings
fucking
and
shot
cars.
Someone in the back of the head, and then kind of disappeared with the wardens for 2 years to go do whatever the fuck he's doing, and girls are going missing in the magical community. It's not fair to Harry, but I get where the fear is coming from. Like, we've only got one guy in our city who's powerful enough to do this.
And who is actively policing, and that's what the war, right, again, like you say, people have semi-limited information about what the warden's job is. If you're not on the council and in the know, you only hear.
So furthermore,
but yes.
To be such a small man that you can't defend yourself and you have no choice but to rely on people like Harry to do the defending for you, and now you can't even trust that person to do it. Like, I get the fear and how it came about.
Yes. Most of them don't really know, so exactly all now.
There's probably a lot of rumors and like enforced. Fear is infectious. So.
Well, and that's
misinformation.
Absolutely. Like, we all know, right? Half-truths and things like that are sometimes worse than... you know, just planting those little seeds of whatever and having just enough to get you into trouble.
So Harry's kind of in this bad situation because Max's place is accorded neutral territory, and he can't really outright breach anything.
Yeah, technically, he has a right to be there.
Yeah.
However.
But he can't, yeah, he can't really
he wants
be
to
like,
keep being
hey,
a good
buddy,
guy.
This is what's actually happening. He has to sort of be...
but again, same thing.
Max has to sort of gently sort of
break
handle it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, again, I get that too, right? If you're all hanging out having a beer and a bunch of stormtroopers suddenly walk in, are you going to be like, cool, I'm just going to stay and have my beer? You're going to be like, fuck you, douchebags, and leave, right? You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, even though he can't cause trouble, but it doesn't necessarily mean I want to associate with you, doesn't necessarily mean I want you eavesdropping
exactly.
on my conversation accidentally
or
not.
What
if I say something in front of, yeah, exactly, right? I'm like, if somebody I was that scared of or didn't like that much, I'm like, it's, get the fuck out of my cafeteria. Yeah. You know, I would be like, I'm going to go somewhere
else. You are
bad
for business, Dresden.
Yeah. But at the same time, how sweet is it that, because we've seen this in other, well, Bok's books, for example, that I was going to say in others. We've seen it here. Bok is like, I love you. You're a good guy. You're bad for business. Don't come to my shop, right? He's like, I'll get you your shit. Send Billy for it, but don't come around kind of a thing, right?
As, and I want you associated
right,
here.
Harry looks up 20 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, however the fuck long this is taken. I'm like, looks up and, because he says when he gets in there, he says there was two tables free. Mm-hmm. That's how busy it is. Out of these 13, there's only two free spots. And then he gets up and he's the only fucking one still in there. Matt could have been like, hey, Harry, you're chasing out all my customers. Can you not come in here for
that's
a while? And he doesn't say anything until Harry's like, what's going on? And he's like, nah, you. And Harry's like, oh my God, it's not. And Matt's like, okay. You know,
yeah.
He's like, was it you? And Harry's like, no. And Matt's like, okay.
Takes him at his word.
And again, he's not like, well, fuck off until you get this sorted out, right? Max is like, all right, well, you'll leave. They'll come back. Right? It's just, again, it's just that sweetness that I'm like, oh, you're handing out some hard truths. You're not like sugarcoating it, but you're also not blaming Harry. You're not, you know, you're not holding him accountable for. I'm like, you can still come in here and drink just as much as anybody else. And if everybody else leaves for a while when you do. Well, like, you know, so it's like
partially that
Matt.
Could also be the accorded neutral territory. However, yes, it also is Mac just being a good friend.
I was going to say, I'm sure part of it comes down to, again, that as his own personal private establishment, that Mac, I'm sure, can ban whoever he wants. Be like, get the fuck out of here. You're not coming in for a beer.
But it seems like a great big step for Harry, who often doesn't want help or can't rely on anyone, even if he does want help, to be like, okay, Mac, I'm up Schitt's Creek. Apparently, no one fucking trusts me. Apparently, you are my only friend right now. Please help me with this. What the fuck is going on? And Mac actually fucking...
It takes him a minute, but yeah. But he's like, yeah, you're in here all the time. Like, people come in, they talk, they chat. And again, Mac being especially... I mean, we all say, you know, we chat to our bartenders and they overhear everything. But again, Mac being that he's not the... Hey, how's it going? Right? He just blends in the background. Mm-hmm. Of course, people are easily gonna forget or not notice or just not be...
You always gotta be careful with those quiet ones.
Yeah.
Even Harry says, he's like, I even think I recognize a name or two just from possibly Bok or Max or whatever. I'm pretty sure I'm recognizing. So surely, yeah, Mac is gonna recognize.
Again, Mac knows a lot of his regular, yeah, exactly. You know, Harry's like, oh, I've seen people in and around here. And again, like, you know, a couple of times he's come and he's like, I don't know their names, but I recognize them from being in here all the time and this and that, right? So yeah, exactly. As you two can attest as well to your regulars and stuff like that in bars and in stations and whatever, right? It's like, yeah, you get to know people and who they are. And yeah, I like how Mac that again is not like immediately like, oh, okay, right? Mac is still like, oh, I don't take sides. I don't get involved. It's not my place to hand out. And Harry's like, people are getting hurt. This is the only thing I have is that it's our community.
Well, do you trust me or not?
Yeah. And Mac is like, yeah, hands him the piece of paper. What's this? It's a start.
Anna Ash, Ordo Libis, 4 p.m. tomorrow.
So, yeah, overall, both a very
heart-wrenching. Oh, but Mac, you're my
only Yeah, thank you for picking that up.
It's yeah, sad overall.
It's sad, but it's sweet. Yeah, it's the harsh realities of, once again, things beyond Harry's control.
It just
control.
Seems to be, like, over and over and over again. It's like, what does this boy have to fucking do to prove himself to you people?
Right, yeah, you can't win for losing in every situation, yeah.
You need a little bit of a strength over adversity sort of loop.
Doesn't kill you, builds character.
This concludes our episode 18.2, Sticky Wicket. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and macanellis.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.